This is News in No Time. Ed Gordon on today's roundtable. More questions about President Bush's scandal-ridden second term and immigrants find jobs on the Gulf Coast. But is it a dose of exploitation? Joining us from our bureau in New York, Pedro Noguera, professor at the Steinhardt School of Education at New York University. From our NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C., Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania. And Jeff Obafemi-Carr, host of the radio show Freestyle, joins us from Nashville, Tennessee. He's at Spotland Productions there. All right, folks, you just heard from representatives, one representative from the RNC and Michelle Bernard of the Independent Women's Forum. And I'm curious, Mary Frances Berry, when you hear the idea of the want to sell Black America on the GOP, clearly something that has been in the fore over the last year or so for the RNC, it still seems to be a hard sell. I'm not sure that Michelle had an easy way of answering that. Why do you believe it's been such a hard sell?
Well, first of all, their analysis of the polls, I thought it was quite humorous. When people like polls, they say they're great. When they don't like them, they start attacking their scientific accuracy. It's always funny. They do that on both sides of the political spectrum. The second thing is that the Republicans have made a pitch to Black America based primarily on homophobia and opposition to same-sex marriage, which isn't a major problem in the Black community. Same-sex marriage isn't. Homophobia is. And they have made pitches based on so-called social issues, values issues, which are not major priorities, but they've had some success in
draining some ground, though.
Right. Few people that they got in the last election, they got there. By the way, the Hispanic vote didn't vote overwhelmingly for Bush last time. That's just plain wrong. Anyway, so I think what has happened with Katrina is that people's heads have been jerked back, even those few who were thinking about going that direction. No one would want more than me to have the Republican Party be an alternative. I'm an independent, to the Democratic Party, which hasn't done everything it should do for its most loyal voters. But at this juncture, if they keep relying on that values message of homophobia and hate and all the rest of it that they used, and faith-based programs for mega churches and preachers, unless they do something in New Orleans that we can see visibly all up and down the Gulf, unless they do something about the racism that has been expressed in their policies, I don't foresee that any large numbers will join the party. It's a hard row, and they need to work hard in the RNC and elsewhere to try to fix that.
Pedro, let me ask you this as relates to the effort of reaching out to African Americans, whether it be the RNC or the White House specifically. And when I say African Americans, I am also including, I should note, other minorities as we see the outreach effort there. How much do you believe, because we are seeing this White House becoming more and more sidetracked, in fact, with the questions of the CIA leaks, now looking into, in fact, as high of an office as the vice president's as relates to that. We're seeing the Republican Party concerned about Tom DeLay's issues and Bill Frist's issues, and the White House concerning themselves now about their latest nominee to the Supreme Court. Obviously, time is going to be spent on all of these issues, and it certainly would stop the effort of reaching out to people to heretofore would not be in the fold, in the tent.
I still think we have to make a distinction between the problems that the Republicans are having in governing and their ability to wage a strong campaign. They still have the great advantage in terms of campaign funds, and they have an ability to utilize the media, particularly the radio shows, to broadcast their message. So I think it would be a mistake to think that because the Bush administration is clearly in trouble, that the Republican Party is in trouble. I also think that the Democratic Party is not showing any sign of life. That what are the issues? Who are the candidates? What's the alternative? So although the situation looks good for those who would like to see an alternative, I don't see one yet on the horizon.
Hey, Jeff, I was in Washington on Saturday walking around the mall talking with different people as the Million More movement was going on. One of the things when you talk to politics, and Pedro just hit on it, is that there are a number of people who are suggesting that, look, I don't like either side. Is that an even bigger concern than the lack of effort, if you will, by Republicans or the attempt to reach out? The idea that there are so many people who are apathetic today in relation to politics in both parties?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like a shopper in the mall who can't find something they're looking for. They're frustrated because they have a lack of choices. And I think that many people in America right now are frustrated for that same reason. When we hear the talk of making a pitch or having to sell something, that tells me that kind of frightens me, because I think back to something that Elijah Muhammad told Malcolm years ago. He said, when you walk into a restaurant and a guy's got a dirty glass of water, you sit down next to him, you don't have to tell him that his glass is dirty. You just put a clean glass of water down next to it, and sooner or later, he'll see which glass is clean and which glass is dirty. What's happening right now is that there are so many dirty glasses around to varying degrees that people are having a hard time just trying to get a good, clean glass of water. And so you don't really have to sell yourself if you're out doing something. And that's on both sides of the spectrum there. So I think that people are definitely frustrated. And when I talk to people, I hear that frustration. I just got through working on a project, working on for a year, that had to do with integration and civil rights heroes in Nashville. I've been writing a play about it and talking to older people. And one recurring motif I get is that something went wrong in the 60s. We got this wrong. We got sold on this integration thing, and we're frustrated now because we don't know how to educate our children, and nobody's speaking out for them. So I think that apathy is still out there, and people are still looking for somebody to lead the way.
Mary, it's one thing to have an educated decision to not participate. It's yet another thing not to participate because you don't feel a connection to the process. I think of what I heard from young men in Toledo over the weekend who were engaging in rioting against the city. We all saw that videotape, and many of them in their language, you could see that they were just disenchanted and disassociated with society in general and clearly had no want to concern themselves politically. Isn't this an issue that we really have to tackle? Why people, particularly young people, have turned away from politics so much?
They've turned away from it because, and are totally, many of them are totally alienated. While we see some who go out and work on get out the vote campaigns,
right,
and there was a big one last time and so on. But there are many youth who are totally alienated, primarily because of what Jeff said. They don't see that anything in politics has anybody saying anything that's relevant to their lives as they go around every day, whether it's the bad education they get at school or the people they know who are in jail or people who are running drugs or whatever is going on in their lives locally. No one seems to be addressing it, and politicians don't talk about it when they're running for office or even after they get in office. Even black politicians mostly don't, people running for office, so that they don't really see. But there are large numbers of people, as Jeff said, who are not black, who feel alienated totally from politics, so that the young African-Americans can feel even more grievously wounded, alienated, looking for some way to express their anger and something to do about their situation.
Pedro, how much of what we've seen in the newspapers do you believe is going to be the final legacy of this administration? And that is obviously the concern by many that the scandal over the CIA leak will reach, in fact, into the White House to one of the president's gurus and closest friends, Karl Rove. The idea that there is concern as to what Dick Cheney knew and when he knew it and the like. How much of this do you believe is going to paralyze the remaining days of this man's presidency?
I think when you combine those internal problems with the war in Iraq, which I see as a much greater challenge for them, because there's clearly no end in sight, that this will, in fact, tie them up and make it very difficult for them to continue to push their agenda. We've seen Social Security completely eliminated now. There's no longer a sense that they're going to try to push this one on us. At the same time, I still have to go back to the point. What's the alternative? Who are the Democrats going to run? Hillary Clinton seems to be trying hard to be as conservative as the Republicans, without much success. I just don't see the other camp mounting a campaign that will present an alternative to Americans that will resonate.
Well, I don't really see the Republicans candidate next time either. I mean, both parties have a problem about who's going to run next time.
Unless it's John McCain.
it may be, maybe not. There are other people trying to run. But I wanted to say about the scandals and about the CIA leak that as a matter of what has happened historically, administrations, when they are tied down with scandal, and I've been around two or three administrations and watched when scandals occurred and see what happened, put on a public face that, oh, well, business is going on as usual. But in fact, behind the scenes, I don't care what kind of scandal it is, whether it's Monica Lewinsky or whether it's something that really is substantive, people get tied up, people get afraid, and it doesn't even really matter whether these guys are indicted. By now, people know that a number of things happened. And sitting out there like a time bomb is this procurement scandal, because the procurement guy, who's already been hauled in, his fingers were in everything. And when you talk about contracts and money, so there are all these things, and nobody knows who said what to whom. I'm talking about in the administration. And people are fearful that something else is going to come out, so it will affect what they do. I fear, though, not just around Iraq, which is a problem, but I'm really worried about the administration going off on some other military adventure, like Iran or something, in order to both get poll numbers up, wag the dog, and also in order to distract themselves from all of this that's going on.
Well, thank you, Mary, for the segue. We'll go right into that, and that is, in fact, that Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice has been making the rounds in an attempt to shore up support against Iran in concern of nuclear proliferation and the concern that they, in fact, may be building up their arsenal there. Jeff Abaf-Mikar, it was not met necessarily, her want to bring people on board in, I think, sheer numbers as the administration had hoped. Russia stayed away. The tried and true allies were there. But it was met with a jaundiced eye at best.
Indeed. I think, and I know that her job is to be a diplomat, however diplomatically that is taken, that is moved forward tonight. But I believe that America is indeed in need right now of hiring or dealing with its own dire issues, specifically domestically. And I think the world is recognizing that. And there is this kind of cocky, kind of brazen attempt to go out and police the world and get everyone in order. The notion that America is the policeman of the world and has now the responsibility of putting a new world order in place is frightening to most of the people, not only at home, but abroad, too. I think it's offensive to start bringing in other countries, because we're not talking about just Iraq anymore. We're talking about Iran. We're talking about Lebanon. We're talking about Syria. We're talking about attacking the Middle East and putting people before the UN Security Council. This is really an approach that I think is going to harm America in the long run. The flip side of the coin is most of America right now is finding itself gripped in fear. It's fear of apathy. It's fear of ignorance. Stephen Barnes, in one of his great novels, The Lion's Blood, has a line that I love. He says, "Fear turns people into sheep, and sheep respond to a strong shepherd." That's why you see people in positions of leadership like Condi Rice or Bush, even in the face of scandals and everything else that are going on, that's going on right now. You see them stand up and speak strongly and boldly, and you'll see that the general population tends to follow that. It's not because they believe in what they're saying. It's because they believe that the people who are in leadership believe what they're saying, and they're looking for somebody to step forward. Going back to what Professor Nogueira said, they're looking for somebody to take a stand and to at least let somebody know where they stand on issues.
Professor, all of this, and we're using that as a backdrop and going to move into the fore, and that is Saddam Hussein going on trial, which in this country may seem like a no-brainer, but there are parts of the world that this man still is seen to some degree, perhaps not as a hero, but one who was brave enough to do what Jeff was just talking about, and that is a stand up to the big policeman on the block, the big bully in some people's minds on the block. This will not be as easy of a go as Americans may believe.
No, it's true, and we don't know whether or not the trial of Saddam Hussein will serve as a rallying cry for insurgents in Iraq and elsewhere in the region. That's an unknown at this point. We do know that the insurgency is continuing, though, and that regardless of how this trial plays out, that the United States has a very difficult situation on its hands because it's fighting wars now in both Afghanistan and Iraq, making overtures towards engaging Syria, and it's already overstretched. So this is a huge problem. The recent election over the Constitution is not at all a sign that things are stabilizing in that country.
In fact, the United States, if I could tag onto that, is overextended everywhere. We overextended in Iraq. We don't have the military. We all know the stories about recruitment and this and that, and people are dying, Americans and other people. And at the same time, there are all of these questions about what's going on in Iraq, the new constitution with its tendency toward suffocating women's rights. I mean, Iraq, whatever it was under Saddam Hussein, and we can all talk about what terrible things happened, was a secular society in which women had rights. Now we have the rise of the mullahs, the Shia, close to Iran at the same time that we're arguing against Iran and about nuclear weapons. There are so many, and the Constitution. Most people who voted, from what I've seen, said they didn't even know what was in it. They were just told either by the prelates to vote for it or vote against it or vote whatever, so that we're already in a predicament, and we certainly don't need to start thinking about going somewhere else and extending ourselves further.
And we should also note, Mary, as we saw yesterday, as numbers were starting to be counted for the Constitution, a bit of Chicago made its way across the way in the sense of votes, sheer numbers outnumbering the people who, in fact, could and were eligible to vote. So it's interesting to see that Chicago has made its way across the
world. Ed, I've got to comment on that. I mean, if you want to know
real
who's going to win,
Mary,
elections in a situation like that, look at who's getting to count the votes. And then you can tell beforehand. We've had that experience in this country, in Chicago and elsewhere.
That's the real way, yeah.
All right. Pedro Noguera, Mary Frances Berry, Jeff Obafemi Carr, thanks so much for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.